modern-day Christianity and missing from our society in general is the doctrine of moderation. You know, being able to set limits upon yourself, to not do something repetitively and excessively. We have a serious problem in our country. We have a serious problem in our homes and in our churches.
Amen.
I'm going to preach to you this morning about addictions and how that people, not only addictions, but obsessions. There was an article, there was a newscast here recently that they're concerned about our children being addicted to Facebook addictions. There's gambling addictions, even in Tennessee. You can see them at the drug stores, and you can see them at the stop and goes, you know, buying lottery tickets, and they're obsessed. They're sitting in their car. They can't even get home until they scratch that thing off. And I've seen them just, you know, not they'll scratch it off, then run back in and get some more. There's addictions and obsessions, and these things are bondages. They bring us into bondage. They bring us into slavery. And the scriptures teach us, and actually repeatedly, over and over again, the scriptures warn us not to fall prey to the devices of the devil and not to become obsessed and enslaved to the sins of this world. Some sins are addictive.
Amen.
Most sins are, but some sins are highly addictive. And I want to talk about them as well. I have good news. There's emancipation. Emancipation is just a sophisticated word for freedom. There's freedom available. You can be set free from these bondages. I don't know how far I'm going to go with this. If I start talking about nicotine and caffeine, it's going to be convicting to some of us. Y'all know about my coffee obsessions. I think there are things that we give ourselves to, knowingly or unknowingly, willingly or unwillingly. And the Bible teaches us to be very cautious and very careful that we don't let anything rule us other than Jesus Christ. God is to have rule over our soul, our mind, our hearts, our spirit, our body. Our entire being is to be ruled by God.
Amen.
Actually, the Bible says in the book of Corinthians that our flesh, our very body, is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Amen? Throughout the book of Proverbs, and I'm beginning reading in verse 1. There are warnings repeatedly given to God's people. Warnings. Don't fall prey to these snares, these traps, these addictions, these obsessions. Have some self-control. We don't hear many messages anymore on temperance. Being able to control yourself. To control not only your anger, but control your actions. These messages are important. I call them maintenance messages. You may not be an addict. You may not be addicted to anything. You may be addicted to something psychologically and not even realize it. And I'm going to define addiction for you. I think there are things that we do that the world maybe labels as bad. And they are bad for us, but they're not necessarily sins. I do know this. Anything that alters your judgment can cause great sin in your life. Anything that alters our judgment, our mind, our ability to reason and sort out whether it's right or wrong, whether it's righteous or whether it's wicked. People, you need to stay away from those things. The Bible declares, even in the latter part of this chapter, look not on the wine when it is red. It will hurt you. And we need to talk a little about over-the-counter drugs. And we need to talk about illegal drugs. I was in a card shop getting a Mother's Day card, a birthday card for my nephews yesterday. And there was a little plaque. And the plaque said, I enjoy everything that's illegal, immoral, and what was the last one? The last one had to do with an overeating. Yes, in the 23rd chapter of Proverbs, the very passage that we are so fond of and so familiar with, that it tells us and includes something that we are very prevalent to do, and that's gluttony. Yeah, it's in this chapter that gluttony is mentioned. We might deal with that a little bit, what that really means. All of these things are important. See, it's not so much the eating, it's letting something consume you that's wrong. Are you with me? Actually, it's not the drinking, actually putting something down your throat or in your mouth, that's the problem. The problem is what it does to you, how it can control you, how it can consume you, how it can bring you into bondage. And anything, listen to me, anything that brings us into bondage, that impedes our ability to walk with God, that causes us to lose our judgment, those things are addictions, they're obsessions, and we need to be very cautious and careful about them coming into our lives and into our homes. Amen. The table of temptation has enlarged. Here he talks about sitting at the table of the king in verse 1, and I'm going to read some of these verses. I don't know how many I'm going to read. I thought about using the title Free Spending and Loose Living. That's basically what he talks about in these first few verses of the 23rd chapter of Proverbs, free spending and loose living. You can be addicted to spending. I have a friend right now that's going through a divorce, and I'll tell you, one of the main culprits of their divorce is that they have used their credit cards to the degree to where they're addicted to them. Spending their money. And they made more in the past year than I'll make in 10 years probably. But just spending and spending and spending. Listen, if you're obsessed with buying stuff, you've got an addiction. If that consumes you, if you can't stop, and actually that's the real test. You want to test and see if you're addicted to something? If you can't stop doing it, you are addicted to it. Rather than you controlling it, it is controlling you. God said in the beginning for Adam and Eve to go forth, and they were to go forth, and they were to take control of the world. They were to be in charge of the world. They were to go out, and they were to possess the world. But you know, many times we, instead of going out to possess the world, things of the world are possessing us. They're consuming us. They're controlling us. They're ruling over us. And when the things rule over you other than God, well, actually, I was thinking about, I've got to prepare a lesson about to preach at Bowling Green in the fall. And you know what lesson they gave me? And Brother Jerry always gives me the worst title imaginable. He gave me the lines of idolatry. When do you cross the line into idolatry? And whether you realize it or not, the truth is that idolatry is an addiction. Addiction is an idol. I'll prove that before I get through, perhaps. I don't know. I've got about 4 pages of stuff. And I know all y'all are anxious to get to your tables, your Mother's Day tables. There's one thing that's very obvious. Good God-fearing mothers won't set something bad before the kids. I was at Amy's and Patrick's house and visiting with them, praying with them, and fellowshipping with them, and Will had a little game, and he was a video game, and he was playing with that. And Patrick quickly pointed out, he said, we limit his time in playing that video game. And you need to do that. There are video game addictions, right? There are. There's chemical addictions, and we can talk about those extensively and probably spend a lot of time. And all of us probably at one time or another are acquainted with that to some degree. Let me read, starting in verse 1. When thou sittest to eat with ruler, consider diligently what is before thee. In other words, we need to be considering what we are faced with in life. We need to consider what we're being exposed to in life. We need to consider the things that the world is offering us and inviting us to do, inviting us to see, inviting us to participate in. We need to be very diligent, and we need to consider whether it's right for us or whether it's wrong for us. There's stuff that your coworkers and friends and classmates are doing that is not right for you to do. So when they set these things before you, what does he tell us to do? He says in verse 2, you need to put a knife to your throat if thou be a man given to appetites. Now, we're all different. There's some things that are tempting to you that aren't tempting to me. All right? There are things that would consume you, but would never consume me. And we need to know ourselves. We need to know our own boundaries and our own limits. We need to know what throws us off kilter. We need to know what throws us off balance. And if you know of some particular sin or some particular thing in the world that is tempting to you and consumes you and overtakes you and pulls you into bondage, you need to put a hedge up, mister. Guard yourself from that. Now, the Bible tells us clearly to do that. Here he says, put a knife to your throat. You know, if you are a person who is given to appetite, if you're a person who is prone. Now, actually, when you read these passages, it's some of the context has to do with a king. Some of the context probably has to do with somebody trying to manipulate you. Somebody trying to get you to be committed to something, to doing something that's wrong, that you know is wrong, that you shouldn't do. We have some good examples in the scriptures of people who had glorious opportunities to be very prestigious in the world, but chose to serve God. They chose the suffering of God's people rather than sin for a season. We have people like Moses and Daniel and the Hebrew children that chose to eat beans rather than the meats of the king of Babylon. And we need to consider some of those good examples that are before us, that are found in God's word. But we also need some good examples before us today. We need parents and grandparents. We need teachers and leaders in our churches that are living the right kind of life, who have some self-control. They have lives of temperance. Actually, if you look in the book of Titus, chapter 2, it talks about women. And it talks about how that if they don't live right and do right, if they don't present themselves right, if they don't hold their tongues, if they don't do this, and if they don't do that, they can cause the word of God to be blasphemed. And he says one thing in those passages in the second chapter of the book of Titus. I think it's verse 3. It says, elderly women that are supposed to teach the younger women in the church, one thing is very clear that they're not to be, and that's an addict. Not given, the word given in there is in the Greek is doula, which means slave. Not to be an addict, a slave to much wine. Now the word wine in the second chapter of the book of Titus and throughout the New Testament sometimes is emblematic and symbolizes anything of the world that has a luxurious lifestyle attached to it, or fame, or fortune, any kind of addiction. Our godly, God-fearing women that are supposed to be teaching in the church are to abstain from. Amen. Think about that. Now, it's not just the elderly women that teach the young women. Deacons, they're not to be addicts. They to have no kind of addictive tendencies. You should not lay a hand on a man to be a deacon or appoint him or appoint an elder in the church that has any kind of addictive behaviors of the past or has those tendencies. Those are just the qualifications, people. Amen. I didn't set him up. God did. He knows what's best for his own church. Right? Not addicted to much wine, or not given to much wine, not given to anything Not addicted to anything. That's my interpretation and my translation of Titus chapter 2. You can embrace it if you want to or not. But I tell you, one of the things that has hurt our churches in the past is that we've let people hold prestigious positions in our churches, and they have addictions, and it has caused many to fall away from the cause of Jesus Christ, and has hurt the cause and hurt our churches. And people, we need to guard the reputation of the Lord's church at every cost. Here in these passages, it talks about guarding yourselves. It talks about in verse 3. See, the whole book of Proverbs is like a mom instructing her child. You know, the last chapter of Proverbs, what's it about? Y'all know about that, about a virtuous woman, right? But actually, it's Solomon receiving instruction from who? From his mama. No. It has nothing to do with how to become a virtuous woman. It's how to find one that Solomon's mother was concerned about. And it was instruction. The last chapter of Proverbs is instruction of a mother to a son on going out of the world and finding a good, God-fearing, God-loving, virtuous mother and woman to marry. And how valuable that is in the home. But the rest of Proverbs has a lot to do also with these same kind of instructions. It's in the context of constructing manhood or womanhood. In the book of Proverbs, there are instructions that are given to children and to parents, and there are instructions about the home. How to not fall prey to the devices of the world, how to live for God, and how to serve God. He says in verse 3, he says, be not desirous of his dainties, for they are deceitful meat. There's a lot of deceitful meat in the world. Labor not to be rich. Cease from thine own wisdom. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. Eat thou not the bread of him that hath an evil eye, neither desire thou his dainty meats. In these passages, and I would like to read the entire chapter. I really don't have time because I need to get back to my subject. Yes, he's talking about free spending. He's talking about loose living. But there's a broader picture. There's freedom. Living your life free from things that are addictive. Living a life of moderation. This is a very important lost teaching in the church and among the people of God. And we need to recapture it, and we need to regain it. You need to be able to monitor your own life and determine whether or not something has become an obsession. You need to be able to monitor your own life and know when something has become an addiction. And you need to be able to guard yourself from those things. God's people have an instruction manual. God's people have something given to them. They have the Word of God that has been given to them to guard against that. They've been given specifically the book of Proverbs. I want to define addictions. An addiction is a bondage. A bondage to the rule of a substance, an activity, or a state of mind, which then becomes the center of life. It is a voluntary slavery. You give yourself to it. As sinners, we're prone to have those desires, and we understand that. We know that because of our inherent depravity, we choose many times to enslave ourselves to these things. An addiction is something that we participate in regularly that does some harm to us. Now keep in mind, an addiction will harm you. It will hurt not only your relationship with God, but it can hurt you physically. It can hurt your home. I could probably ask for a show of hands of people who had parents that had an addiction. You would be surprised, perhaps even amazed, at the number of hands that would fly up here today. Children, many times, they are the silent victims of an addiction. They suffer. Look at the kids that are having to be taken out of homes. Look at child services. Look at the problems in Tennessee alone of the homes that are unfit for a child to even be there. And the majority of the time, the reason a child is not fit to be there is because one of the parents has an addiction. People, we need help. We need deliverance. We need deliverance in our society, in our nation, in our country, in our homes. Addictions harm us. Perhaps it involves a substance that is inherently injurious. Or perhaps it is our dependency on something or someone who causes our harm. The point is this. An addiction holds us in their grip. What will happen is when you obtain an addiction, you'll shuffle your priorities. And there'll be freedoms that you'll lose. It restricts your freedom when you're addicted to something. It corrupts our decision-making ability. Often it fosters a secret, guarded lifestyle. You'll hide it from others. Don't raise your hand. I don't think there's any fear of that, is there? The point is this. God has given us freedom. I'll give you a text. You look in the 5th chapter of Galatians, verse 1. We are told in that passage to stay positioned in the liberty that Jesus has brought us. Amen. Don't fall into any kind of bondage. Don't allow anything to take control over you. Now, we need to monitor our lives and put in perspective our repetitious activities. The Bible teaches us to monitor our lives. Many of these things that become habitual, these habitual dependencies that we have, they do cause a regressive capacity to keep the important things in life first. And we need to realize that. It destroys our ability to keep first things first. Let's look in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5. There we are taught to cast down every imagination, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And that includes addictions. We are to bring it into captivity. Every thought to the obedience of Christ. Actually, what happens is once you go down that road to an addiction, there's a stronghold that develops in your mind. That's what this passage is having reference to. Satan is constantly trying to get our minds. He has blocked people's minds. He's deceived people's minds. The Bible teaches us that the God of this world has got in the minds of those that are lost and in their sins and has blinded their minds, the Bible says, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine unto them. And so strongholds develop in your mind. Satan has a little place in your life and in your mind. And Paul is concerned about those strongholds. Little fortresses, little places that are protected, little activities and things that you protect that he has control of in that area of your life. And the Bible says to cast it down, to destroy it, to overtake it, to overthrow it, recapture that territory. Listen, there, if there's areas of your life that you've lost to the devil, it's time that you, by the aid of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, go back into that area of your life and reclaim it. You've given that to the devil, and it's time to take it back. I didn't think I'd have a shouting hallelujah kind of response from this sermon. You know what? I'm not worried about pleasing you. I'm worried about pleasing him. Amen. These satanic strongholds that have developed in our life, The Bible says we have to go in there and we have to be aggressive. The word casting down here in this passage is a strong word. We've got to take hold of it. We've got to take the initiative. We've got to be aggressive. We have to be like warriors, and we have to go in there and we have to do battle with ourselves. And we've got to regain these areas that we have lost. You're not worried about it? Let me point something out. Your children see you with an obsession or an addiction, and they'll pick up on it and they'll think it's okay. If you don't aggressively be concerned about that, then they won't be aggressively concerned about the things that come into their life when the table is spread before them. I mean, it enlarges itself daily. You don't think so? Let me read just a few staggering statistics. Just a few. This comes from the United States Department of Justice. Quote, never before in the history of telecommunication media in the United States has so much indecent and obscene material been so easily accessible by so many minors in so many American homes with so few restrictions. End of quote. I want to have 10 kids to stand up. 10 kids stand up. 10 of you stand up. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. One more. All right, I got one right here. That's all right. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. That's enough. I've got enough. Sit down, Andrew. You guys stay standing. Keep standing. Got 10 kids stand up. Can you guys see all these 10 kids? And all these kids between the ages of 8 and 16. Well, exception of 1 or 2. But I want to read you these statistics. Use them as a representation. 9 out of 10 children. All right, one of you sit down. Why don't you sit down? Gabriel's sitting down. You stay up, back here. David, stand up. You sit down, Gabriel. We got one that sit down. So these are the 9. 9 out of 10 children aged between 8 and 16 have viewed pornography on the internet. Does that alarm you? All right, you can sit down. The average age of first internet exposure to pornography is age 11. Now, I'm not talking about just looking at nudity. I'm talking about terrible X-rated pornography. Think about that. The largest consumers of internet pornography are from the ages of 12 to 17. The average 18-year-old has seen 100,000 television commercials encouraging him or her to drink. 80% of high school seniors have tried alcohol. 32% have gotten drunk in the last 30 days. 43% smoke marijuana. About one-third are smoking cigarettes. I don't know about you, this is a national disaster. Amen. This is a mother's nightmare. A nightmare for mothers. We've got a problem. And many of them are falling prey to this and become addicts for life. God's given us a teaching tool. He's given us the Word of God. And if you have an appetite for these kind of things, the Bible tells us you need to take a knife to your throat. And that's not talking about killing yourself. No. It's telling you to put up a safeguard. As though you would have a knife around your throat. You would protect yourself. You would guard yourself from these things. When internet became very popular, when I was doing the Baptist Beacon on a regular basis back then, I had an article in there about protecting your home from outside influences. I don't even have time to go over the statistics of kids that are approached in chat rooms. Some of the stuff that's going on there, there are predators out there. Kids, listen to me. There are sexual predators out there. And you might think, well, this shouldn't be preached from our pulpit. Well, if you're not telling them at home, maybe God is telling them from the pulpit. They need to be told these things. You may think that your home is guarded and safe, but all they have to do is go to the library. Do you guys understand that? And they would be exposed to these things. We need to protect our homes. I know this. God-fearing mothers of the past would give their lives for their homes. And I believe we have some God-fearing mothers today that would give their lives for their homes and the protection of their children. Never before in our world's history have we had so much online gambling and so many people at church addicted to prescription drugs. Oh, come on. Come on. What, you think I'm stupid? Huh? You think everybody else is stupid too? It's a terrible problem in our churches and in our society. Amen. Just because a doctor prescribes it don't mean it's always right to take it. You better make sure you've got a good doctor that's concerned not only about how you feel, but about what this drug can do to you, about the side effects. We have people that are, I'm not telling you not to take your medication, and I'm not telling you can't have fun in the world. You can. But don't, we need to guard ourselves. Anything can become an obsession, an addiction. We get addicted to it, and we need to watch ourselves. We need to guard ourselves in these areas. There are a large assortment of chemical addictions that by their very nature, they are highly addictive. Just this past week in the Tennessean, there was an article of a woman that said she only took it one time, one hit of crack, and she became an addict. It happens just that quick. And some of you may have an appetite for alcohol. You don't even know it. And you take one drink, and it plunges you into alcoholism. You know the best way to guard against alcoholism in your life is never take that first drink.
Amen.
Never be a problem. You know? Never be a problem. But I think some of us realize and we know that we have addictive tendencies. Oh, come on. And we have to guard ourselves in those areas. We should be very cautious and careful of things that, I'm sorry, I've preached longer than I really intended to. Well, but we need to be very cautious. We have a responsibility. We have an obligation. There are a lot of scriptures. The Bible tells us to crucify the flesh. The Bible says don't let anything of the world consume us to where it takes us from Christ. There's passage after passage. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11, abstain from the fleshly desires, which, what do? These fleshly desires, what do? They wage a war against your soul. Whether you realize it, I don't know if you do or not, but listen, the devil wants your mind. He wants your body, and he wants your soul. And he's out after our children, too. We have to guard against allowing him to have them. Well, what if I fall prey to an addiction? Well, there's ways that you can recover from that. There's the prodigal son. I think he's a perfect example of an addict. He came to himself, didn't he? He came to himself. And he went back to the father's house. And you can come to the Lord that way, humbly, praying, confessing your sins. Do you think you have to confess your sins when you become an addict? You got to confess them to God. You got to admit that what's the first thing you have to do if you go to an AA meeting? You have to admit you're an alcoholic. Right? You can't even start the process of recovery until there's confession. Well, the same thing goes with God. His help requires some confession. Prayer. You can pray for deliverance and help. confession and prayer, God's holy word. Absorb yourself in the word of God. The Bible says in the book of Ephesians chapter 5, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, allowing the Lord to rule and dominate your life. And there are other things. I had a whole slew of things to recover from addiction. Well, Brother Jerry called me last night and said, you going to butter up your mothers? I said, don't look like it. Guard your life first. More things are caught than taught in our homes. Children are watching you. They don't want to be like me. I've never had one of these kids to say, I want to be like the preacher. They always say, I want to be like dad. I want to be like mom. They want to be like you. So you set the example. Live the life before. Don't let things control you or consume you. Be very careful about prescription drugs. Guard yourself. Ask your doctor. Consult your physician. Say, look, are these things, am I going to become addicted to these things? Listen, it's dangerous. I know. When I was in the hospital in 02, I was put on unlimited supply of morphine. Unlimited. They give me as much as I want, as much as I need. Think about that. That's an addict's, what would you call that, party, I guess, to have something that available. But I was concerned, and I talked to the doctors, and I knew that I had to get off that stuff as soon. When I didn't have pain, I wasn't supposed to take it. Listen, if you're taking pain medicine when you're not in pain, you're an addict. Amen. Amen? If you're taking sleeping medicine or tranquilizers when you don't need them, then you're addicted to them. See, they're prescribed for a specific symptom. And if that symptom is not there, then you've crossed the line. And those are the lines that we need to be aware of. Where these lines are in our lives. Amen? It's not okay for us to become addicted to those things. It's not. We're Christians. Those are substances of the world, and you can abuse them. And that is why they call it substance abuse. And when we individually or personally abuse them, you know, one of the greatest rages among kids today is for them to go through their parents' medicine cabinet. And they'll get a handful of prescription drugs out of your medicine cabinet, and then they'll get together and they'll throw them in a bowl, and they'll have a party. Why, they don't need to go to a drug dealer on Dickerson Road. All they have to do is go to your medicine cabinet. Am I telling you the truth? Man, we need to wake up. It's happening. It's happening. Let's be careful. I know, you know, a lot of people say, well, I need to keep all those drugs around in case something comes up later in the future where I need to take them again and blah, 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 blah. I don't know about that. You're not a doctor. You need to consult a doctor before you take your medications. God bless you. I appreciate your listening to me. All of these things are important for our lives. You know what? You may go out of here and you say, well, I didn't like that sermon he preached. That's fine. But if I can help one of these kids, I don't care if 50 of you get mad at me. If I can help one of these kids not fall prey to some substance or fall into bondage that ruins their lives, ruins their homes, ruins their children, and I praise the Lord for this message this morning, if that happens. I told of my Aunt Pat that got saved. I told her Wednesday night. My mom shouted all over the house Wednesday. It was Tuesday. It was just a great day. We've been praying for Pat for a long time. I think one of the stumbling blocks in her finding the Lord was that she had to sleep with a butcher knife under her pillow because of substance abuse in the home. Do these things affect us spiritually? Yes, they do. Don't you think they don't? And not only do they affect us personally, spiritually, but they affect our families and other people around us and can keep people from coming to Christ. I believe that. I'm not even going to ask you to lead a song. I tell you what, let's at least stand and sing Amazing Grace. I want to say this to you. If you're here this morning and the odds are great that I'm preaching to somebody here this morning who is an addict, presently an addict, you don't know, there's probably more than one. There may be at least, the statistics would indicate there's probably 10 to 15 among us today. Whether they are conscious of it or not, they are addicted. Addicted to something that's not only destructive, but damaging to themselves and the people around them. There's hope for you, and it's Jesus. He will deliver you from your addiction. So I at least want us to stand and sing, "There's Grace." Amen. The Bible says, let's stand. Where sin abounds, what much more abounds? Grace! Grace! God's unmerited favor to deliver you and save you. Jesus came to what? Set us free. Set us free from all the vices and all the addictions of the world. Let's sing.